Oh, I didn't hear it.
He announced it right at the end, and Larry looked at a little shaky because he don't think he was prepared for it. But he did say if the people would go out here and get him on the ballots, the 50 states.
Are you there?
I'm here. Patricia is speaking here.
Yes, this is related to the last question, so I asked what is it we should be doing. And then what it sounds like to me is there is so much confusion and deceit and difficult things going on in the third dimension that... Now, maybe
on the third dimension, there's no confusion on the third dimension. Well, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion going on in the third dimension. I'm sorry.
It's clear the third dimension is really messed up right now, if I could say it that way. And what it seems to me, or kind of the approach that personally that I have gotten to, is that if I put my effort on ascension, I mean, whatever that may mean, and it's opening up to me all the time, at least then I have a chance of having a higher vibration. And with a higher vibration, I actually could be working on these things rather than being so stuck in them.
Well, if while you are working at that, you are asking for response, because what you will be doing is working at a level where you will open yourself to suggestions. You will know what you need to do. So, yes, I hear what you're saying. I don't think you're working as much to evaporate as you are to become one in knowledge.
What are techniques for us to use to become one in knowledge?
You have to know what it is you want. What is your goal? Do you have a goal?
Become one in knowledge. So, for example, it could be a personal goal to ascend. Or
No. I that's not what I mean. I'm not interested. I'm interested in what is your overall goal. What would you try to achieve?
Well, personally, for me, my goal would be I want to be on the same wavelength as God and have no difference.
But that doesn't require ascension. That doesn't mean ascension. I have to repeat what I asked before. To where... You see, ascend means to take off up there somewhere, to go up. If you look up the word, it means to go up. Where are you going? What you are talking about is coming into direct attunement and communion with God. And you don't need to go anywhere to do that, except into the silence of self, where you can hear.
So if we do that above and beyond anything else, then basically these other things will come to us as needed.
Yes. So I believe that we understand each other. I know that I hear what your intent is. And it's not basically to pedal up there in the sky somewhere. You are talking about trying to become one in communion with God. And in that instance, the goal is to hear. The goal is to receive that communion from God, which basically comes down to you need to have your higher intelligence, your higher self, in oneness with the God frequency or energy. Am I right?
And how do we do that? I mean, is it just a matter of prayer or sitting for meditation, our heart's desire?
I have no way to offer you. I can't give you instructions in it. There aren't any instructions. If it helps you to sit quietly in prayer, yes. But your world requires action. And I must remind you and warn you that when you come to what you call your judgment day, no one's going to judge you save self and that God within. And unfortunately, the judgment comes against actions in the human form. And that's what determines your growth as you move into the higher dimensions, which I assume you mean is ascension. You are trying to purify your thought processes to the point where you basically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually ascend into a oneness with higher energies. But just to get off the planet in ascension will only land you mostly an earthbound plane. So I can't tell you how to do it. There isn't a written, it's a withinness. It's a withinness. And when one goes within in total unselfishness and in prayer, literally can genuinely pray for brother and nation and other, only then will you have the rewards that you are seeking. They automatically come back to you if your intent is honorable. If it is just to save your assets and get you into safety, you're not going to make it. Not through that route. There is only one, and that's you. And you may as well consider that there's only one in the universe, and that's you. And yet, as long as you focus on the you, which you consider to be your ego consciousness, you're not going to be able to make that trip. You must put aside that ego consciousness and move into the higher consciousness with God. And that is most easily accomplished by meditation. But you can spend all your life in meditation and be a hermit on a mountain, but you will still judge yourself at that transition day by what you did or did not do in behalf of the experience manifested for your use. You're in a schoolroom. And unfortunately, it isn't the kind that you can just cop out of. You do stand to answer for your behavior, even though it be an illusion. And that's why you will keep experiencing until you come to that perfection on your road. And you obviously want to be there, or you wouldn't ask these particular questions. It's just that man wants a shortcut. And I would give it to you if there were one. There isn't. I feel I haven't satisfied you. But maybe if you ponder it, it will fit.
Thank you, Natan. We'll go back to the written questions. Jim Stenziani has three questions for you. Is the big boy, and that's in quotes, adversary ever allowed to attend any of your council meetings? And are there any limits imposed on that entity as to his actions here?
Oh, you're talking about higher council meetings like the Cosmic Council? What kind of council meetings?
And as I understand, you would be attending these meetings with the other Federation commanders. My question was, is Big Boy Bad Adversary, quotes, is he allowed to attend these meetings? And what are
his
limitations, if any, based in your directions on your plane, or does he have free reign
on the earth?
Commander, can you repeat the question?
Sure. The question, as I perceive it to be, is can the adversary, the big boy, Satan, let's call him Satan simply because you've labeled him that, is he allowed to attend the council meetings of the higher energies? The point is that evil itself is something that is only of the human realm, the physical expression. I assume that what you mean would be, would this energy be allowed within those councils? I have to tell you this, that darkness will not come near the lighted councils. There are lower levels of federation wherein, yes, there have been attendance by those that would call themselves adversaries. And there are allowances made for their behavior or misbehavior. Remember that they are the testers. But in the lighted realms of the higher dimensions, and I'm not talking about space brotherhood of man. I'm talking about higher dimensions. There is no such thing. And that's a whole another 5 hours. So I don't think you want really to get into that. So the answer is in the federation level, from time to time, that one is present. In the higher cosmic councils of the higher dimensions moving into God's realms, no, he just isn't there. It doesn't exist.
For that clarification.
Okay, Jim's next question is, do you have any information as to what role, if any, Maitreya is going to be playing in the world political scene?
A lot and none. As just as extreme as I can make it. Maitreya is a thought projection of a Christed being, an avatar, a master, a returned God, if you will. This has been presented to you. It will be presented more and more and more as you get into more and more chaos, because that is exactly what the adversary wants you to think, is that your God is running around in a physical form on your place, and God is not. That is the one clue that you have. He told you, the Bible, that book that you keep quoting, has told you. He is not on your place now. Does that mean that he is never on your place? He is never on your place in the physical form that you perceive physicality to be. He frequently is projected onto your place in holographic form, which if you sighted this person or being, you would not know the difference. They will radiate an extremely light countenance, almost a floating movement. Don't be deceived. He is not in physical form on your place at this time. That is so the world knows. And that is so that when the God makes himself present unto you, all of you will know that also. But this beauteous energy form that has been created, whether it be from the thoughts of man or not, makes no difference. He has been conjured, and he represents goodness. But he will be misused because he is created by man. He is a fabrication of man. And once again, you have taken a term that in that language means something. And in your language now, it has become Mr. Krim's personal man by the name of Maitreya. And that person does not, cannot exist at this time on your place. And this is why you will find that every time he has been projected to be here, he isn't. and you continue to pick up those fragments. And it's because you know you are expecting something and you want badly for it to be here. Because you also innately know it's going to get pretty rotten. And you know that if you can become one with God simply because this is a thought illusion, you'll be able to outdo this some way. You're not going to get away from the experience. Chelas, none. None. We laugh around here, you know. Maybe you get so distressed you shoot yourself on Saturday. You're going to be back on Tuesday. It is the time of expression and transition. A great, great cycle in the universe is taking place. In your species, in your manifested world. Your reality, your unreality. You're not going to miss it. And this is one thing I have to say about ascension. Please don't wish yourself into another dimension. You'll get there. You are into this one. You have created this for yourself. Don't miss it. There are millions of energies who would give so much to have your place. Don't sit and wish yourself somewhere else. Do what you came here to do. And if you don't know what it is, seek it until you find it. I'm going to start preaching in a minute. We better hurry on.
All right. Do your plans include coming into the physical manifestation in the near future? Your own?
No, not in the very near future, no. When I began to come, I will come only in holographic form. I already am back and forth in holographic form continually. I have a very large energy, and it's very difficult and very, I don't like your earth. I travel in the etheric form when I am aboard craft and I must take physical form. I usually will do it in 9.5 feet. I stick out like a sore thumb. I would cram it into, say, 6'3" or 6'4" or 6 when I start physically experiencing with you. At this point, it is too dangerous. It is absolutely, exquisitely dangerous to you to even consider such a thing. I am continually making appearances with your leadership. They know me well. I get all around everywhere. But I do it in a holographic form, in and out the doors, in and out the walls, whatever I choose. But I cannot put you in that kind of jeopardy to experience with you at this time. Already, it is the magnifying glass, the microscope. We get beam blasts against these houses. We get firebombs and bullets. I would not do that. That would not be proper, just to make a point. But yes, I fully intend to experience with you. And very much are we looking forward to the filming of Sipapu Odyssey. If we can keep it quiet enough where our location is, we intend to bring our own special effects. And that was going to be a major first presentation. Undeniable. And yet already they have set up their signal system where we plan to be. So it becomes very difficult because of the possibility of change. And knowing man, the probability is always there. So we'll just have to wait and see. But it's not going to be tomorrow. But I may show up in your living room tomorrow. It will not be physical. You may not know the difference.
You'd like to show up right now?
Actually, I really would.
We would like it too. Thank you for that. I'll go on with some questions from Larry Frank. I'm going to start with his short questions because some of them are very, very long.
Well, I can start answering yes and no.
Okay, here's a yes and no. Yes or no. Is there a subterranean city called Talos, which is located underneath Mount Shasta?
No.
Oh.
There was a base called Telo de Neos. Telo de Neos. Located approximately under Mount Shasta, somewhere between Lassen and Shasta, actually. That base has been basically vacated. You had some of the higher energies that would frequent Mount Shasta in energy form from your old Lemurian days. They also have been evacuated from there because those are soul energies, and what is tending to come down now can be very damaging. And Space Command had to remove the exchanging entities that were being put into that base. It had to be vacated. Well, I outdid myself. I stressed my no. Try again and I'll try to be better.
No, that's fine. You just go with the flow.
Thank you. I usually do that and I get in trouble.
Okay, here's a very long question for you. Recently I read a book entitled Letters from Home, Volume 2, which is a compilation of messages from the Space Brotherhood that was channeled by Tuita. In this book you answer several questions. My question to you, are those words from that book, as well as statements that you made in the Four Conclave book, from you? The reason I ask is that I thought that you didn't communicate through channels, and yet on page 290 of Crucifixion of the Phoenix, you referred to Tuita as being very dear to you.
No, I have never said that I never spoke through channels. I merely say that my method of communication to Dorma is not the same as you think of a channel. Tuita was one of the first organizations that I formed. And she's from what we call the third galaxy. She's from the angelic realms, Tuita is. And this is one of the most precious energies that I have ever known on your earth. And yet, when she came into proximity with other ones that she felt were great teachers and more knowledgeable and elder statesmen, if you will, she fell into the trap that so many fall into. Not of the lie, but in refusal to accept her own truth with the strength of conviction. As ones grow, ones can either blossom into strength as the necessity for change comes about and the difference in the types of lessons must be made. There must be introduction. There must be the concept of possibility. And then there must be going with the flow, as you say. And what happens is everybody starts trying to push the flow, the river, if you will, in every direction, dam it up, run up it, instead of going with it, and struggle because you're captured then into the physical ego state of ones around you telling you how it is supposed to be. And once you get to the point where you are writing and speaking of things that are earthly, it's very confusing to the consciousness to speak to God one minute and speak earthly things the next minute and have these great people around you that are claiming to be from Melchizedek Society and the Great Order of the Emerald Cross, etc. And I have to remind you of what God is. God is not secret. God has no secret royal orders. Please hear me. Ones ask about the Melchizedeks. I assume there was an honor in being Melchizedek, but it is not what you perceive it to be. There is absolutely zero that is secret in God's realm. He tells you everything. There is no mysticism and no secrets. It is only a mystery because you don't yet know the answer. And he's giving you the answer just as fast as you can take it. And when it came time to make some kind of change, and I became very dissatisfied, which was very destructive to Twitter. This is painful. This is painful for me to speak of right now, because she, in service to me, came and introduced me to Dharma. And this was only in 1987, at the time that you ones of the New Age groups want to call the harmonic convergence. Didn't have anything to do with harmonics nor converging. It had everything to do with the beginning of your new counting. The ancient Indian, Aztecs, Mayans, Aborigines of all places. That was the end of the calendar. That was the end of the world. The end of dream time. The beginning of the final cycle. You're in it. You're 5 years in it. And Tuita chose to go with a group who wanted to be royalty in these societies of Emerald Crosses, etc. And yes, I honor her. I will always protect her. She chooses to deny me in the most important and most precious and urgent role of our existence. She still accepts my placement in the council. But I want you to listen just a moment at what has happened. She will very frequently write great and lengthy dissertations from Tobias. Tobias is an elemental, precious ones, a little leprechaun energy. And you cannot ask of an elemental to be your guide. You are their guides. And yes, you can elevate them to your equal, and you can love them and you can respect them, but you do them no service to let them be the teacher. It is too painful. I cannot discuss this further.
All right, thank you, Hatan. We have another question from the floor for a moment, please.
Yes, in one of your journals, you made reference to Kali Yuga, which is a Sanskrit period of time, Sanskrit literature, Age of Darkness, which is supposedly started approximately 2,000 years ago. I wonder if you could elaborate that on that in relation to the current situation and cycles of existence.
Well, I would. He is asking me about Kali Yuga, that I have spoken of this from Sanskrit language, and what that means. He has said that I pronounced it, you know, as or discussed it as being the time of darkness. And actually, I would correct that. If that has come through in the writings, that is an error. It is a time moving toward darkness. But it truly defined or translated from Sanskrit means the time of chaos, total confusion. There is at this time moving into a time of total rule by darkness or by evil adversary, a total absence of God in the operating order of the planet. This was projected not just from Sanskrit, but from all of the major prophets and your holy books, that there would be a time on this planet, as there is on every planet inhabited by the human physical being. It first moves into a time of chaos and a time of total reign of evil. And that is your period of darkness, where man turns away from God. You will find things like right here in San Bernardino, which is very close to this very location, and this is happening all about your country. Christ is being removed from Christmas, for instance. You may not put up the crash. You may not put up the symbols. You may not pray in the schools. Ones are literally trying to get God taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm talking serious here. Serious. And, for instance, there was a cross in a flower bed right here in Tehachapi, and outsiders came in and caused such a rift that it had to be removed from the cemetery. And in San Bernardino, there is a park, a Christian symbolic park. And now they are requiring that everything pertaining to Christ be removed from it, including its label, his name. They can put something like historical myth. That's what I mean. You are in the time of total confusion. The adversary, Satan, if you will, is the king. The epitome, that is his tool. Confusion is his tool. He takes your names of sacred meaning unto himself. He calls himself the morning star. He calls himself the prince of light. He will always use the terms to make you believe him, because he is the king of deceit. And he doesn't ever have to change his story. From experience to experience to experience, he just repeats it. Because it always works. In the physical plane, it always has worked. Note, I changed my own statement. Because it doesn't have to work that way. If you only could understand and take your power as given to you by God for what you are, you don't have to do this. And I must make you see it. If it takes 20 more journals, 100 more journals, and Desiree's getting sick and Dorma's going to leave me. I must make you see it. It doesn't have to be this way. And it will turn around the minute you understand it. And you say, well, how many must turn around? Just one. Just one. And yet, we don't have that one yet. But we're getting close. So when you unify and you get your goal, I believe it was told to you, put your eye on the prize. I want to tell you something. The adversary has never, not for one brief blink of an eye, taken his eye from the goal. And look who appears to be ahead. Now you can all go home and rest easily because you know that in the end, God wins. That has also been written. So by that very fact, you know a lot of changes can take place. And if God has created a universe and evil can only function in the physical, he's pretty limited. And you have an unlimited God. I suggest you take that power because it's offered to you. And you'll get it the minute you understand. And do your homework. Do you want some more questions? Have you had enough? Or shall we do this twice instead of completely taking her voice away?
This has to do with Kutumi. Is he on board the Phoenix?
No.
Okay, because he apparently has a newsletter has been published saying that Kutumi says he is on board.
Yes, and we just got word that we have a new speaker, writer, etc. in Colorado for Hatton because Dorma's on board. You have to be a little bit careful.
I see. Okay, well, I guess that covers that with it. Okay, here's something on the earthquakes. During the last 18 months or so, you've made several predictions of some rather devious actions for the adversary, like engineering massive earthquakes. And you also gave good reasons why it did not occur at that time. This is Larry Frank's question. My question is, in addition to the reasons you gave, could it be that predicted nuclear war on September 17, 1982, that public exposure of the adversary's plans somehow did help to prevent the event from happening?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Huh. Okay.
That's a yes.
Right, one more question from Larry. I'm trying to reduce half a page of type into a question here. It has to do with the three stages of migration and those people, the star seeds. All right, these people of the first wave, will they in the near future ascend or enter into the fifth dimension as did Jesus as described in Acts, 1st chapter 9 to 11? Then, upon entering the fifth dimension, will they spend time on the ships and then redescend to earth with full remembrance that they are truly sons of God and do the greater things as prophesied by Jesus?
Well, don't go further. Let me see if I can hang on to some of those fragments.
Okay.
I've tried to explain to you that by and large, the first migration has taken place. Now, I can understand also why you would think that it's coming up. Why you would have a statement such as moving into the fifth dimension is a bit more confusing because you don't understand the progression of the migration. Ones making the migration who make it through a light beam and can be recoalesced, you see, at the time of evacuation, let us say, you're going to have a need. You're not going to float to some little clouds and sit there. You will fall right back through, and God would not do such a sloppy job of preparing a place. So you've got a place. But if we have to evacuate you, you are going to find that when you materialize or manifest that many vessels to hold you, because the mothership is larger than your planet, I can hold everybody on the Phoenix that's on your planet. But it's not that easy from your physical aspect to get you aboard, because I would only be able to beam from one side of the planet, do you see? And that is a long way to go. Because if you look at the Phoenix now, I look like a little tiny star. I also have a command ship that you often confuse with the mothership, and I'm not going to go into that either, or we'll be here all night. But you're going to have shuttle craft, and when you have that many, even if you park them edge to edge, you have a real shield around your place, and they're not going to be able to get close enough to your earth. You see, if there are earth encounters at this time, it is at your level of compression, and you might be stabilized, let us say, in a light beam and brought aboard, but you would walk aboard, or you might be lifted, as in the case of Billy Meyer, some 100 yards or further, depending on your stability. We're going to have to lift some of you off 150 miles. That is a long time to be dispersed in a light beam. And this is the point when you study ascension. Let's put it this way. This is what you're really talking about, I believe. You don't know what you're talking about, but I believe this is it. To get your frequency high enough to integrate into that beam so that you can physically, safely make it aboard craft. Because once again, God will have provided what you need, not a fluffy cloud, regardless of what it may look like to you. So you would be brought aboard a ship. If you have made it physically through that light beam, you will be moving directly into the higher third and fourth dimension. You will still be experiencing as a humanoid life form physical. If you don't make it through, you're going to have to go either into a lower what you would call astral form, or bypass the physical form into the fifth dimension, which is without physical body, you see. So there will be the transition that we're speaking about. Now you'll have to refresh me on the rest of the question.
Well, it was quite a compound question.
Maybe I've answered it. I don't know. There.
All right. He says after that, this activity of doing the greater things, which people will call miracles, will demonstrate reality of the fifth dimension, of which those who receive.
No. You experience miracles every breath you take. That is the miracle of life. Every heartbeat. What you are talking about are magic signs. And God does usually not resort to that. Never as an answer for proof. very often as support for a belief system already in existence. You will get proof, all right, but it will only be confirmation. And yes, there will be signs. But most of what you will be experiencing or think you are seeing will not be from God, because God doesn't do it that way. I didn't hear it.
He announced it right at the end, and Larry looked a little shocked because he don't think he was prepared for it. But he did say if the people would go out here and get him on the ballots, the 50 states.
Are you there?
I'm here. Patricia is speaking here.
Yes, this is related to the last question. So I asked, what is it we should be doing? And then what it sounds like to me is there is so much confusion and deceit and difficult things going on the third dimension that now maybe
on the third dimension. There's no confusion on the third dimension. Well, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of confusion going on in the third dimension. I'm sorry.
It's clear the third dimension is really messed up right now, if I could say it that way. And what it seems to me, or kind of the approach that personally that I have gotten to, is that If I put my effort on ascension, I mean, whatever that may mean, and it's opening up to me all the time, at least then I have a chance of having a higher vibration. And with a higher vibration, I actually could be working on these things rather than being so stuck in them.
Well, if while you are working at that, you are asking for response, because what you will be doing is working at a level where you will open yourself to suggestions. You will know what you need to do. So, yes, I hear what you're saying. I don't think you're working as much to evaporate as you are to become one in knowledge.
What are techniques for us to use to become one in knowledge?
You have to know what it is you want. What is your goal? Do you have a goal?
Become one in knowledge. So, for example, it could be a personal goal to ascend. Or
No. I that's not what I mean. I'm not interested. I'm interested in what is your overall goal. What would you try to achieve?
Well, personally, for me, my goal would be I want to be on the same wavelength as God and have no difference.
But that doesn't require ascension. That doesn't mean ascension. I have to repeat what I asked before. To where... You see, ascend means to take off up there somewhere, to go up. If you look up the word, it means to go up. Where are you going? What you are talking about is coming into direct attunement and communion with God. And you don't need to go anywhere to do that, except into the silence of self, where you can hear.
So if we do that above and beyond anything else, then basically these other things will come to us as needed.
Yes. So I believe that we understand each other. I know that I hear what your intent is. And it's not basically to pedal up there in the sky somewhere. You are talking about trying to become one in communion with God. And in that instance, the goal is to hear. The goal is to receive that communion from God, which basically comes down to you need to have your higher intelligence, your higher self, in oneness with with the God frequency or energy. Am I right?
Correct. And how do we do that? I mean, is it just a matter of prayer or sitting for meditation, our heart's desire?
I have no way to offer you. I can't give you instructions in it. There aren't any instructions. If it helps you to sit quietly in prayer, yes. But your world requires action. And I must remind you and warn you that when you come to what you call your judgment day, no one's going to judge you save self and that God within. And unfortunately, the judgment comes against actions in the human form. And that's what determines your growth as you move into the higher dimensions, which I assume you mean is ascension. You are trying to purify your thought processes to the point where you basically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually ascend into a oneness with higher energies. But just to get off the planet in ascension will only land you mostly an earthbound plane. So I can't tell you how to do it. There isn't a written, it's a withinness. It's a withinness. And when one goes within in total unselfishness and in prayer, literally can genuinely pray for brother and nation and other, only then will you have the rewards that you are seeking. They automatically come back to you if your intent is honorable. If it is just to save your assets and get you into safety, you're not going to make it. Not through that route. There is only one, and that's you. And you may as well consider that there's only one in the universe, and that's you. And yet, as long as you focus on the you, which you consider to be your ego consciousness, you're not going to be able to make that trip. You must put aside that ego consciousness and move into the higher consciousness with God. And that is most easily accomplished by meditation. But you can spend all your life in meditation and be a hermit on a mountain, but you will still judge yourself at that transition day by what you did or did not do in behalf of the experience manifested for your use. You're in a schoolroom. And unfortunately, it isn't the kind that you can just cop out of. You do stand to answer for your behavior, even though it be an illusion. And that's why you will keep experiencing until you come to that perfection on your road. And you obviously want to be there, or you wouldn't ask these particular questions. It's just that man wants a shortcut. And I would give it to you if there were one. There isn't. I haven't satisfied you. But maybe if you ponder it, it will fit.
Thank you, Natan. We'll go back to the written questions. Jim Stenziani has three questions for you. Is the big boy, and that's in quotes, adversary ever allowed to attend any of your council meetings? And are there any limits imposed on that entity as to his actions here?
Oh, you're talking about higher council meetings like the Cosmic Council? What kind of council meetings?
And as I understand, he would be attending these meetings with the other Federation commanders. My question was, is Big Boy Bad Adversary, quotes, is he allowed to attend these meetings? And what are his limitations, if any, based on your directions on your plane, or does he have free reign on the Earth plane?
Commander, can you repeat the question?
The question, as I perceive it to be, is can the adversary, the big boy, Satan, let's call him Satan simply because you've labeled him that, is he allowed to attend the council meetings of the higher energies? The point is that evil itself is something that is only of the human realm, the physical expression. I assume that what you mean would be, would this energy be allowed within those councils? I have to tell you this, that darkness will not come near the lighted councils. There are lower levels of federation wherein, yes, there have been attendance by those that would call themselves adversaries. And there are allowances made for their behavior or misbehavior. Remember that they are the testers. But in the lighted realms of the higher dimensions, and I'm not talking about space brotherhood of man. I'm talking about higher dimensions. There is no such thing. And that's a whole another 5 hours. So I don't think you want really to get into that. So the answer is in the Federation level, from time to time, that one is present. In the higher cosmic councils of the higher dimensions moving into God's realms, no, he just isn't there. It doesn't exist.
That clarification.
Okay, Jim's next question is, do you have any information as to what role, if any, Maitreya is going to be playing in the world political scene?
A lot and none. As just as extreme as I can make it. Maitreya is a thought projection of a Christed being, an avatar, a master, a returned God, if you will. This has been presented to you. It will be presented more and more and more as you get into more and more chaos, because that is exactly what the adversary wants you to think, is that your God is running around in a physical form on your place, and God is not. That is the one clue that you have. He told you, the Bible, that book that you keep quoting, has told you. He is not on your place now. Does that mean that he is never on your place? He is never on your place in the physical form that you perceive physicality to be. He frequently is projected onto your place in holographic form, which if you sighted this person or being, you would not know the difference. They will radiate an extremely light countenance, almost a floating movement. Don't be deceived. He is not in physical form on your place at this time. That is so the world knows. And that is so that when the God makes himself present unto you, all of you will know that also. But this beauteous energy form that has been created, whether it be from the thoughts of man or not, makes no difference. He has been conjured. And he represents goodness. but he will be misused because he is created by man. He is a fabrication of man. And once again, you have taken a term that in that language means something. And in your language now, it has become Mr. Krim's personal man by the name of Maitreya. And that person does not, cannot exist at this time on your place. And this is why you will find that every time he has been projected to be here, he isn't. And you continue to pick up those fragments. And it's because you know you are expecting something and you want badly for it to be here. Because you also innately know it's going to get pretty rotten. And you know that if you can become one with God simply because this is a thought illusion, you'll be able to outdo this some way. You're not going to get away from the experience. Chilas, none. None. We laugh around here, you know. Maybe you get so distressed you shoot yourself on Saturday, you're going to be back on Tuesday. It is the time of expression and transition. A great, great cycle in the universe is taking place, in your species, in your manifested world, your reality, your unreality. You're not going to miss it. And this is one thing I have to say about ascension. Please don't wish yourself into another dimension. You'll get there. You are into this one. You have created this for yourself. Don't miss it. There are millions of energies who would give so much to have your place. Don't sit and wish yourself somewhere else. Do what you came here to do. And if you don't know what it is, seek it until you find it. I'm going to start preaching in a minute. We better hurry on.
All right. Do your plans include coming into the physical manifestation in the near future? Your own?
No. Not in the very near future. No. When I began to come, I will come only in holographic form. I already am back and forth in holographic form continually. I have a very large energy, and it's very difficult and very... I don't like your earth. I travel in the etheric form. When I am aboard craft and I must take physical form, I usually will do it in 9.5 feet. I stick out like a sore thumb. I would cram it into, say, 6'3" or 6'4" or 6 when I start physically experiencing with you. At this point, it is too dangerous. It is absolutely, exquisitely dangerous to you to even consider such a thing. I am continually making appearances with your leadership. They know me well. I get all around everywhere. But I do it in a holographic form, in and out the doors, in and out the walls, whatever I choose. But I cannot put you in that kind of jeopardy to experience with you at this time. Already, it is the magnifying glass, the microscope. We get beam blasts against these houses. We get firebombs and bullets. I would not do that. That would not be proper, just to make a point. But yes, I fully intend to experience with you. And very much are we looking forward to the filming of Sipapu Odyssey. If we can keep it quiet enough where our location is, we intend to bring our own special effects. And that was going to be a major first presentation. undeniable. And yet already they have set up their signal system where we plan to be. So it becomes very difficult because of the possibility of change. And knowing man, the probability is always there. So we'll just have to wait and see. But it's not going to be tomorrow. But I may show up in your living room tomorrow. It will not be physical. You may not know the difference.
You'd like to show up right now?
Actually, I really would.
We would like it too. Thank you for that. I'll go on with some questions from Larry Frank. I'm going to start with his short questions because some of them are very, very long.
Well, I can start answering yes and no.
Okay, here's a yes and no. Yes or no. Is there a subterranean city called Talos, which is located underneath Mount Shasta?
No.
Oh.
There was a base called Telo de Neos. Telo de Neos. Located approximately under Mount Shasta, somewhere between Lassen and Shasta, actually. That base has been basically vacated. You had some of the higher energies that would frequent Mount Shasta in energy form from your old Lemurian days. They also have been evacuated from there because those are soul energies, and what is tending to come down now can be very damaging. And Space Command had to remove the exchanging entities that were being put into that base. It had to be vacated. Well, I outdid myself. I stressed my no. Try again and I'll try to be better.
No, that's fine. You just go with the flow.
Thank you. I usually do that and I get in trouble.
Okay, here's a very long question. Recently I read a book entitled Letters from Home, Volume 2, which is a compilation of messages from the Space Brotherhood that was channeled by Tuita. In this book you answer several questions. My question to you, are those words from that book, as well as statements that you made in the Four Conclave book, from you? The reason I ask is that I thought that you didn't communicate through channels, and yet on page 290 of Crucifixion of the Phoenix, you referred to Tuita as being very dear to you.
No, I have never said that I never spoke through channels. I merely say that my method of communication to Dorma is not the same as you think of a channel. Tuita was one of the first organizations that I formed. And she's from what we call the third galaxy. She's from the angelic realms, Tuita is. And this is one of the most precious energies that I have ever known on your earth. And yet, when she came into proximity with other ones that she felt were great teachers and more knowledgeable and elder statesmen, if you will, she fell into the trap that so many fall into. Not of the lie, but in refusal to accept her own truth with the strength of conviction. As ones grow, ones can either blossom into strength as the necessity for change comes about and the difference in the types of lessons must be made. There must be introduction. There must be the concept of possibility. And then there must be going with the flow, as you say. And what happens is everybody starts trying to push the flow, the river, if you will, in every direction, dam it up, run up it, instead of going with it, and struggle because you're captured then into the physical ego state of ones around you telling you how it is supposed to be. And once you get to the point where you are writing and speaking of things that are earthly, it's very confusing to the consciousness to speak to God one minute and speak earthly things the next minute and have these great people around you that are claiming to be from Melchizedek Society and the Great Order of the Emerald Cross, etc. And I have to remind you of what God is. God is not secret. God has no secret royal orders. Please hear me. Ones ask about the Melchizedeks. I assume there was an honor in being Melchizedek, but it is not what you perceive it to be. There is absolutely zero that is secret in God's realm. He tells you everything. There is no mysticism and no secrets. It is only a mystery because you don't yet know the answer. And he's giving you the answer just as fast as you can take it. And when it came time to make some kind of change, and I became very dissatisfied, which was very destructive to Twitter. This is painful. This is painful for me to speak of right now because she, in service to me, came and introduced me to Dharma. And this was only in 1987, at the time that you ones of the New Age groups want to call the harmonic convergence. Didn't have anything to do with harmonics nor converging. It had everything to do with the beginning of your new counting. The ancient Indian, Aztecs, Mayans, Aborigines of all places. That was the end of the calendar. That was the end of the world. The end of dream time. The beginning of the final cycle. You're in it. You're 5 years in it. And Tuita chose to go with a group who wanted to be royalty in these societies of Emerald Crosses, etc. And yes, I honor her. I will always protect her. She chooses to deny me in the most important and most precious and urgent role of our existence. She still accepts my placement in the council. But I want you to listen just a moment at what has happened. She will very frequently write great and lengthy dissertations from Tobias. Tobias is an elemental, precious ones, a little leprechaun energy. And you cannot ask of an elemental to be your guide. You are their guides. And yes, you can elevate them to your equal, and you can love them, and you can respect them. but you do them no service to let them be the teacher. It is too painful. I cannot discuss this further.
All right, thank you, Hatan. We have another question from the floor for a moment, please.
Yes, in one of your journals, you made reference to Kali Yuga, which is a Sanskrit period of time, Sanskrit literature, Age of Darkness, which is supposedly started approximately 2,000 years ago. I wonder if you could elaborate that on that in relation to the current situation and cycles of existence.
Well, I would. He is asking me about Kali Yuga, that I have spoken of this from Sanskrit language, and what that means. He has said that I pronounced it, you know, as or discussed it as being the time of darkness. And actually, I would correct that. If that has come through in the writings, that is an error. It is a time moving toward darkness, but it truly defined or translated from Sanskrit means the time of chaos, total confusion. There is at this time moving into a time of total rule by darkness or by evil adversary, a total absence of God in the operating order of the planet. This was projected not just from Sanskrit, but from all of the major prophets and your holy books, that there would be a time on this planet, as there is on every planet inhabited by the human physical being. It first moves into a time of chaos and a time of total reign of evil. And that is your period of darkness, where man turns away from God. You will find things like right here in San Bernardino, which is very close to this very location, and this is happening all about your country. Christ is being removed from Christmas, for instance. You may not put up the crash. You may not put up the symbols. You may not pray in the schools. Ones are literally trying to get God taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm talking serious here. Serious. And, for instance, there was a cross in a flower bed right here in Tehachapi, and outsiders came in and caused such a rift that it had to be removed from the cemetery. And in San Bernardino, there is a park, a Christian symbolic park. And now they are requiring that everything pertaining to Christ be removed from it, including its label, his name. They can put something like historical myth. That's what I mean. You are in the time of total confusion. The adversary, Satan, if you will, is the king. The epitome, that is his tool. Confusion is his tool. He takes your names of sacred meaning unto himself. He calls himself the morning star. He calls himself the prince of light. He will always use the terms to make you believe him, because he is the king of deceit. And he doesn't ever have to change his story. From experience to experience to experience, he just repeats it. because it always works. In the physical plane, it always has worked. Note, I changed my own statement because it doesn't have to work that way. If you only could understand and take your power as given to you by God for what you are, you don't have to do this. And I must make you see it. If it takes 20 more journals, 100 more journals, and Desiree's getting sick and Dorma's going to leave me, I must make you see it. It doesn't have to be this way. And it will turn around the minute you understand it. And you say, well, how many must turn around? Just one. Just one. And yet, we don't have that one yet. But we're getting close. So when you unify and you get your goal, I believe it was told to you, put your eye on the prize. I want to tell you something. The adversary has never, not for one brief blink of an eye, taken his eye from the goal. And look who appears to be ahead. Now you can all go home and rest easily because you know that in the end, God wins. That has also been written. So, by that very fact, you know a lot of changes can take place. And if God has created a universe, and evil can only function in the physical, he's pretty limited. And you have an unlimited God. I suggest you take that power, because it's offered to you. And you'll get it the minute you understand. And do your homework. You want some more questions? Have you had enough? Or shall we do this twice instead of completely taking her voice away?
This has to do with Kutumi. Is he on board the Phoenix?
No.
Okay, because he apparently has a newsletter has been published saying that Kutumi says he is on board.
Yes, and we just got word that we have a new speaker, writer, etc. in Colorado for Hatton because Dharma's on board. You have to be a little bit careful.
I see. Okay, well, I guess that covers that one then. Okay, here's something on the earthquakes. During the last 18 months or so, you've made several predictions of some rather devious actions for the adversary, like engineering massive earthquakes. And you also gave good reasons why it did not occur at that time. This is Larry Frank's question. My question is, in addition to the reasons you gave, could it be that predicted nuclear war on September 17th, 82, that public exposure of the adversary's plans somehow did help to prevent the event from happening?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Huh. Okay.
That's a yes.
Right, one more question from Larry. I try to reduce half a page of type into a question here. It has to do with the three stages of migration and those people, the star seeds. All right, these people of the first wave, will they in the near future ascend or enter into the fifth dimension as did Jesus as described in Acts, 1st chapter 9 to 11? Then, upon entering the fifth dimension, will they spend time on the ships and then redescend to Earth with full remembrance that they are truly sons of God and do the greater things as prophesied by Jesus?
Well, don't go further. Let me see if I can hang on to some of those fragments.
Okay.
I've tried to explain to you that by and large, the first migration has taken place. Now, I can understand also why you would think that it's coming up. Why you would have a statement such as moving into the fifth dimension is a bit more confusing because you don't understand the progression of the migration. Ones making the migration who make it through a light beam and can be recoalesced. You see, at the time of evacuation, let us say, you're going to have a need. You're not going to float to some little clouds and sit there. You will fall right back through, and God would not do such a sloppy job of preparing a place. So you've got a place. But if we have to evacuate you, you are going to find that when you materialize or manifest that many vessels to hold you, because the mothership is larger than your planet, I can hold everybody on the Phoenix that's on your planet, but it's not that easy from your physical aspect to get you aboard, because I would only be able to beam from one side of the planet, do you see? And that is a long way to go. Because if you look at the Phoenix now, I look like a little tiny star. I also have a command ship that you often confuse with the mothership. And I'm not going to go into that either, or we'll be here all night. But you're going to have shuttle craft. And when you have that many, even if you park them edge to edge, you have a real shield around your place. And they're not going to be able to get close enough to your Earth. You see, if there are Earth encounters at this time, it is at your level of compression. And you might be stabilized, let us say, in a light beam and brought aboard, but you would walk aboard. Or you might be lifted, as in the case of Billy Meyer, some 100 yards. Or further, depending on your stability. We're going to have to lift some of you off 150 miles. That is a long time to be dispersed in a light beam. And this is the point when you study ascension. Let's put it this way. This is what you're really talking about, I believe. You don't know what you're talking about, but I believe this is it. To get your frequency high enough to integrate into that beam so that you can physically, safely make it aboard craft. Because once again, God will have provided what you need, not a fluffy cloud, regardless of what it may look like to you. So you would be brought aboard a ship. If you have made it physically through that light beam, you will be moving directly into the higher third and fourth dimension. You will still be experiencing as a humanoid life form physical. If you don't make it through, you're going to have to go either into a lower what you would call astral form, or bypass the physical form into the fifth dimension, which is without physical body, you see. So there will be the transition that we're speaking about. Now you'll have to refresh me on the rest of the question.
It was quite a compound question.
Maybe I've answered it. I don't know.
All sign the greater things, which people will call miracles, will demonstrate reality of the fifth dimension, of which those who receive...
No. No. You experience miracles every breath you take. That is the miracle of life. Every heartbeat. What you are talking about are magic signs. And God does usually not resort to that. Never as an answer for proof. Very often as support for a belief system already in existence, you will get proof, all right, but it will only be confirmation. And yes, there will be signs. But most of what you will be experiencing or think you are seeing will not be from God, because God doesn't do it that way.